From the Center for Investigative Reporting and PRX, this is a special Support Your Station episode of Reveal. I'm Al Letson. Back in May 2016, when Donald Trump was just a candidate, oil executives gathered in a ballroom in Bismarck, North Dakota. Trump jabbed at Hillary Clinton and President Obama, and then redirected his fury at birds, blaming them and the way the federal government was protecting them for strangling oil industry profits.
Government misconduct goes on and on. The Department of Justice filed a lawsuit against 7 North Dakota oil companies for the death of 28 birds.
The oil executives in the room loved it. Trump was talking about the Migratory Bird Treaty Act, a regulatory irritant for them. It was signed into law 100 years ago, and it makes it illegal to kill birds or destroy their nest and eggs without a permit. Once Trump was in the White House, his Interior Department defanged it, weakening the government's authority to enforce the act. You see, millions of birds are killed each year by things like wind turbines, power lines, or wastewater pits. But now, the government is no longer going after companies responsible for those deaths. Cornell University is home to the world's largest collection of bird calls. Its ornithology lab is dedicated to conserving birds. We talked to Amanda Rodewall, a professor and researcher there. She's worried Trump's change will reduce the number of birds, those already on the road to extinction, and common ones too, like this western meadowlark, the state bird of 6 western states. She's worried for people too.
You know, birds are sentinels of environmental conditions, right? They're the canaries in the coal mines, as many people would say. And so if we're allowing environments that are creating unhealthy conditions for birds, that also means we're creating unhealthy environments that have the potential to impact us.
We asked reporter Elizabeth Shogren to find out what's at stake. She starts at an oil operation in northern Wyoming.
It's a blustery spring day. The land here is flat, but we can see mountains in the distance. Migrating songbirds are flitting through the sagebrush nearby. Tumbleweeds are blowing through what seems like a defunct oil production site.
This thing could have been abandoned for a long time.
Gary Moad snoops around like a detective. Gary's retired now, but during his whole career as a law enforcement officer for the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, this would have been a crime scene. Near the rusted, motionless pump jack, he crouches and points to a long black feather tangled up with weeds in a mat of thick oil, the color of milk chocolate.
Oiled bird feather right here.
Probably from a... Boy, it's tough, but I'm going to go with a goose. I just don't want to pick it up because I'm no longer a federal agent. Even though it looks like this well's been taken out of production, waiting for prices to come back up, these pump jacks leak, and that's where that bird got into it.
Then he spots a single egg sitting in a gooey puddle nearby. In his days as an agent, Gary would have collected these bits of oily evidence. Killing birds or destroying their nests or eggs, even inadvertently, was a crime. A legal opinion from the Trump administration last December changed that.
Right here on the south side of the pit, well, that's the surface sludge.
He's standing in the middle of several pits the size of swimming pools. This is where the oil company's wastewater goes. You wouldn't want to swim in one. They're often polluted with oil and toxic chemicals. But Gary says decades of policing these pits taught him birds don't know any better.
Here a bird thinks it's just landing in a pool of water to rest and feed and drink, and next thing you know, it's trapped, and you know it had a miserable death.
Pits are the big bird killers at oil production sites.
Thick oil sludge, it's heavy. When it gets on them, they try to preen it off of them so they get it into their gullet, and once it's in their system, they're not going to make it.
Did you ever find live birds?
Oh, quite often I found live birds. A lot of ducks, a lot of songbirds. You know, when you find them and they're still alive, you know, they're in really bad shape. And you have to euthanize them because you're just not going to rehab them. It was just gut-wrenching. You know, you shouldn't have to do that.
He broke their necks. It's what he had to do. From 1992 to 2005, Gary and other agents collected more than 2,000 birds at pits. Forensic analysis showed they represented 172 different species, including many rare birds. Originally, the Migratory Bird Treaty Act targeted hunters, trappers, and poachers. But in the 1970s, the federal government started using it to crack down on industries that kill lots of birds unintentionally. Millions of birds were saved. But by issuing a new legal opinion in December, the Trump administration stopped using the act that way and halted the fines and prosecutions. This was a triumph of industry's influence. I analyzed public lobbying records from 2017 that specifically mention the Migratory Bird Treaty Act. They show oil and gas industry groups paid lobbyists nearly $500,000 to influence federal agencies and Congress. Other kinds of energy companies spent heavily to lobby on this, too. Industry groups also sent emails to Trump administration appointees at the Interior Department. One of those emails led me to Kathleen Sagama in her corner office on the 27th floor of a skyscraper in downtown Denver.
It's not a particularly clear day, but it's not bad, you know, so it's a good view.
Kathleen represents oil and gas producers as the president of the Western Energy Alliance. She downplays the impact of her industry's lobbying on Trump appointees.
They did not need much prodding from us. Actually, they were going down that path before we even talked to them.
Last August, Kathleen sent a long wish list of environmental policies industry wanted the Trump administration to weaken. Among them was the way the Migratory Bird Treaty Act was interpreted.
We were the ones who were being targeted.
She points out that the federal government ranks cats as the largest bird killers. Collisions with buildings come next.
Do we prosecute those who live in buildings who happen to have a bird smash into their window? No, those are inadvertent bird deaths. Just like sometimes birds get into oil and gas equipment and deaths result as well.
For decades, the federal government had argued that birds dying in oil pits was different than birds smashing into windows because companies could take steps to protect birds. Some companies disputed this in court, and in December, Trump's top lawyer at Interior sided with them. He wrote a legal opinion saying it's only illegal to kill migratory birds if it's done on purpose. The administration later sent out a memo with examples. If you power wash an offshore oil platform to get rid of a bird's nest, that's illegal. But if you're power washing an offshore oil platform and a bird's nest happens to get washed away, that's not illegal.
It's a reasonable way to continue to protect birds while moving forward with energy development.
With the new interpretation of the Migratory Bird Treaty Act, there will be no more fines and there will be no more prosecutions of industry when birds die at oil operations. Do you think that more birds will die as a result of that?
I don't think more birds will die because companies don't need a rule or prosecution hanging over their head to do the right thing. We want to protect birds. Nobody wants to see a dead bird. I mean, everybody loves birds.
I tell Kathleen that in a couple of days, I'm going to go flying over oil pits with former agents of the Fish and Wildlife Service. She insists there will be nothing to see.
We've gotten away from open pits. Most modern operations do not use open pits. That, again, has taken away a source of potential bird deaths and will continue to operate in that manner.
We're going to go ahead and get started up.
And clear ahead.
Clear prop.
But many companies still do use pits. Remember Gary Moad, the former U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service agent? He takes me up in a Cessna to see if pits in northern Wyoming still threaten birds. We fly over a rural landscape. Looking out the window, I see an oil company site with several large pits. We're wearing headsets to talk over the engine's roar.
Well, they've got nets stretched across the pits to keep the birds out, so these guys know the rules of the game.
Then, a pungent odor fills the tiny cockpit.
You can smell the oil, huh?
Yes. What is the gas? Hydrogen sulfide?
That's Mark Webb, our pilot. He's also a former agent and Gary's friend.
It smells a little bit like rotten eggs.
Yes.
Coming up right here, Liz.
See that right there, Liz? That's a bad pit. Completely full of oil. That's all oil on that first pit. There's no netting there. That's ugly.
We fly over clusters of oily pits, one after another. Many have black oil or swirly rainbow sheens visible on the surface.
There's another ugly one. Go ahead and do a 360 right here, Mark.
Okay, there's a number of pits right here.
Okay, on the right side of the plane, Liz, be another set of pits. They're discharging into this wetland here. Those are problem pits. You see the sheen, you see the oil. That will kill birds.
In the early 1990s, Gary saw pits just like these. He later drove back to one pit he'd spotted from the air. In the sand at the bottom, he saw the bones of what looked like thousands of birds.
To me, the light bulb went off. Knowing that there were thousands more produced water pits out there, I knew right away that this represented a major threat to migratory birds.
That's why he came up with the strategy to get companies to clean wastewater pits. Gary and other agents flew low over oil fields. When they saw oily pits or missing nets, they'd give companies 30 days to clean up and install nets.
At that point, if an oil producer failed to clean up their pit and it still had oil on it with dead migratory birds, we would then charge them at $250 a bird. If we pulled 10 birds out of there, they'd get a $2,500 fine.
At first, 90% of the pits were oily. But most companies quickly got the message. Agents even tipped off the oil companies in advance. The point was to get them to clean up, not collect fines.
Yeah, we would put the word out that we would be flying, for instance, Wyoming in May.
The program started under the Clinton administration and continued through Bush and Obama. It was a great success. The federal government estimates the number of bird deaths in oil pits plunged from 2 million a year to less than half that. And the Environmental Protection Agency gave Gary its top award. Bird deaths may begin rising again now that the Trump administration has stopped prosecuting the oil industry for killing birds this way. This is painful for American bird watchers, whether they're Democrats or Republicans.
Oh, here, look, look, right here, right here. Oh, he is just pretty as can be. And staying still, which is something of a miracle.
It's the peak of spring migration, and I'm walking in the woods, not far from Washington, D.C., with Lynn Scarlett. She's a passionate birder who was a top official at the Interior Department under President George W. Bush.
Hear the wood thrush? I love the sound of a wood thrush. Sometimes I'll go in the woods, and when they're singing, I'll just stand there with my eyes shut and listen. It's so beautiful.
I can tell that you love birds.
I do. They're just so unique, so beautiful. 10,000 of them in the world, each one different. And you start to look at them and you go, wow, that's, gosh.
Today, she's intent on finding warblers. They're here only briefly on their way north. Lynn has tucked her khakis into her socks to avoid ticks and convinced me to do the same. She hears melodies in what sound like a cacophony to me. One of Lynn's jobs as Bush's deputy interior secretary was protecting birds and enforcing the Migratory Bird Treaty Act. So I ask her what she thinks of Trump's attack.
Oh, for heaven's sakes. Well, I mean, the act is 100 years old.
She and 16 other high-ranking officials from every Republican and Democratic administration, back to Nixon, were outraged. They objected by writing a letter to Interior Secretary Ryan Zinke.
And it was such an abrupt change that's inconsistent with 5 decades and both parties. So I think that caused so many former officials to say, this really is off the mark.
Zinke never responded. But Lynn hasn't given up. She's now a top executive at the Nature Conservancy. And as a Republican, Lynn has ins with the Trump administration that few environmental leaders have. She even knows the guy who wrote the new legal opinion, Daniel Giorgiani. He used to work for her and then for foundations funded by the Koch brothers. They're the fossil fuel billionaires who spend a bunch of their money pressing government to cut regulations.
Have you met with Daniel Giorgiani or others to talk to them about this?
Yeah, we have, both about this and broader things.
Is there anything you heard in these meetings that gives you optimism that this is something that they might change their minds on?
I haven't seen any signal that there are plans to change direction on this.
And it's not just birds that will be hurt. The fines companies paid under the act were used to restore habitats. After the 2010 Deepwater Horizon oil spill, BP was fined $100 million because of the Migratory Bird Treaty Act. That's a lot of money being spent to beef up coastal wetlands that also protect people from storms and sea level rise.
So nature matters for nature, but it matters for people too. You know, it breaks my heart to see unnecessary diminishing of the focus on nature. And I say unnecessary because we can work in tandem. We can turn on our lights with energy and conserve nature. They are not at odds.
That story from Reveal's Elizabeth Shogren. Elizabeth's story is just one example of our commitment to tracking the effects of deregulation during the Trump administration. At the end of every Reveal episode, I say there is always more to the story. And part of that is you, the role you play in keeping independent journalism going. Here's how to do that.